happening.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Line is brought to you by Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. I want to thank Earl Thompson for sitting in for me yesterday. I was traveling, folks. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yes, I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today, and I will be for the rest of the week attending a conference here in Pittsburgh. It's about 50, 60 degrees here in Pittsburgh. A little nippy, not too bad, you know, but it's the home of the Steelers. Yes, I'm a Steeler fan. I am not a Dolphins fan, so don't get vexed with me. I'm in the Steelers territory today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text me at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So let me give you a lay of the land. We do have some special guests in studio today. We want to talk about something very important in keeping with what is happening and being emphasized this month. So we'll speak with them for a little bit. And then after that, we're going to talk some current affairs stuff. Sounds like a plan. Okay, I believe I have on Jackie Gardner. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Hello, Radio Bahamas.
So you're doing well?
I'm doing wonderfully well.
Super, super, super. So we've got something big coming up, the rebirth of Pink Rain.
Yes, Pink Rain. I'm telling you, Mr. Lang, it's going to rain. I want to thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to promote this rain, this powerful rain. So it's gonna be going down.
All right, let us know what's going down exactly.
All right, Pink Rain is going down. Yes. Well, thank you so very much. Pink Rain is going down on October 28th. So I want all of your listening audience far and near to grab a calendar and mark this date on the calendar. It's October 28th. That's the time when we will have, it's not an event, we will be having a powerful supernatural experience. We've been praying about this experience. We've been fasting about this experience. And we're coming into the room with great expectation. So on that particular day, we're going to be praying. You know, October is cancer month. So we're going to be praying with persons with suffering from cancer, but not just cancer, any sickness or disease. So we're inviting those persons. Now, you know, cancer is really prevalent in the Bahamas. So you either you have it, or you know someone who's close to you who has it. So we want to invite you to bring all those persons in the house, because not only will we provide information and encouragement, but we believe under the power of God, lies will be set free. There will be healing in the house. We've been praying for the healing, and we know that God will honor that request. Also, we will be dealing, you know, I mean, yesterday I opened the papers and I saw another story of one of our darlings being abused, and I was sickened by it. I mean, it ripped me to my core. So we're going to be dealing with our children, our darlings, but we're going to be giving special spotlights to those who have been abused. We have encouragement for them. We have healing of those wounds. And we know that when someone is molested, it's not just a physical wound. It's also a spiritual and is a wound in your soul and a wound in your spirit. And when we talk about your soul and your spirit, your soul is, you know, where you have your preferences, where you connect with mankind. So when you're wounded in that perspective area of your life, you have difficulty. A lot of times people go through that kind of trauma and they tell you, I find it difficult to connect with others. So we want to heal that wound. So we are inviting you to come into the house. And then it's a spiritual wound. And the enemy does that because he does not want us to take our rightful place and walk in the image for which we were destined. God made us to take dominion, to be bold, strong, and powerful. And instead, he wants us to take on identities. Like he wants us to identify with the experience. You know, that's a damaged experience. And what he wants us to do is to believe that we are our experience. So because of being molested or raped, I am raped. And I have my head bent because that's who I identify with. But absolutely not under the power of the Holy Spirit. We will be releasing and setting lives free, and we will have pertinent information. So we're giving the word, we're giving information, we're encouraging. Some persons will be sharing their experiences with abuse and how they've been set free from it. And then afterwards, we're going to have breakfast. Yes, that's what I said it. We're going to feed the soul. And then we're going to feed the body. But the soul is first. That's most important. And then afterwards, we're going to have a great scrumptious breakfast and a time of bonding. So everybody, Mr. Lang, I was about to call you Pastor Lang. Everybody, Mr. Lang, needs to be in the house because like we said, either you're coming there because you're abused or you know someone who has been abused and you need this information, or you yourself are being abused. So Radio Bahamas, we've been praying for rain. We've been to the fountain, been declaring that water is going to spring from the earth on the 28th. It's going down at Legacy. It's going to be 8 a.m. starting sharp at 8 a.m. on the 28th of October. You need to be in the house. Be there.
And so Legacy Church Global is on John F. Kennedy Drive. Tell people where exactly that is, just in case there are people who don't know.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you asked. Because we're getting a lot of questions and feedback on exactly where is that. So it's located, you know, where the Red Cross building is. There's a small corner just before you arrive at that building. You go through that small corner and then you'll see this huge edifice. You can't miss it right there on the grounds. Now, we already prayed over those grounds. And we're believing by faith that every and anyone needs to be there. And then when you arrive on the ground, you will feel the difference. You will feel the rain, the pink rain.
So you're on JFK heading toward the Red Cross, coming from the airport or going to the airport, so people be sure.
Okay, so fine, great. There's two ways to go about it. So if you're going, so if you're passing Fusion, for example, so you're coming from that perspective,
direction,
from that direction, okay. Then you're going to go around the roundabout. And then head back east as if you're going towards the Red Cross.
Right.
There you go. All right. So, of course, if you're coming from the Red, if you're coming from the airport from that direction, then you just travel straight down before you reach the roundabout. Well, before you reach the Red Cross building, it will be on the same side as the Red Cross building heading east.
Right.
So I don't know if that's clear.
And then you make that left. You make that left you get to the Red Cross.
Perfect.
Okay. And so if you're coming from the other direction, you just got to go around, about and then come back around, right?
You see how you made that so clear? I know why I'm on the show.
Yeah. That's why we try to do. I want people to get the information because, you know, then you have a speaker who's going to be there. Tell us about the speaker.
Oh, it's going to be powerful. We have speakers. We have dancers. We have persons sharing their testimonies. So the main presenter will be Miss Rosemary Pina. And if anyone knows her, this is an anointed, powerful woman of God. She is preparing herself, applying the word, and I'm telling you, she's coming fully loaded. She's been praying for the rain. She knows that it's going to rain. So if you just come to hear the woman of God speak about rain and how that rain can transform your life, you need to be in the house. But beyond that, like I said, we're going to have two praise and worship team. One will be from Legacy Church. One will be from Lakeview Church of God. And it's a non-denominational organization. So we have persons coming from the length and the breadth of the Bahamas. We have them coming from locally here in Nassau, and then from our family islands. And then what we are proud about is it will be live stream and it will be on Facebook. So we want to make sure or to ensure that any and everyone has an opportunity to be a part of the Pink Rain experience. What you say about Dave is in the room. I think, Dave, are you there? I don't know if I covered everything.
No, I don't think Dave is.
Okay, so he isn't there. Okay, yeah. He didn't make it. So I think I covered everything.
He made sure you were here and get this information out.
Well, that's very important. So I appreciate Dave because he made my contact. So I really appreciate it. And I want to once again thank you on such short notice for giving us the opportunity to promote this powerful. Because what I want to say, Mr. Lang, is, I mean, our country is going through what I believe, and I honestly believe, yes, there is that physical manifestation where people are getting gratification from abuse and violation. But I honestly believe and feel convinced and convicted that beyond, so let's do all the physical things in terms of trying to curb the scourge of abuse in our land. But I believe for those of you, and so I want to appeal to those intercessors, those who know the value of prayer and the power of prayer, to please, please partner with us. Come out that night, come and pray, come and, you know, assist and stand with us, because I believe that it's a demonic stronghold that has now, I mean, plagued our land. When you see a grown man is going with a 4-year, you know that has to be a sick person, a 4-year-old. What can you get from a 4-year-old? That only can be something very evil and sinister. And so I believe that from our perspective, we want to pull down, we want to deal with this demonic stronghold. We've been praying, we've been fasting, and we expect God. I mean, that's what he says, be it unto us according to our expectation. So we expect big things. And so we're asking Bahamas to please, please expect with us. Let's big up God, magnify God, his power, his might, his ability to break this stronghold that has taken our land. Let them see we are serious from a spiritual perspective, that we are on the wall and we will not come down. We do not expect to come down until we feel the rain, the Holy Spirit rain, moving, shaking, and making a meaningful difference in our country.
Well, there you have it, folks. Well, Sister God and I think they got the message. So let's, I think they got it clear. It was very clear. And God
thank
bless
you.
And we trust for great results.
All right. Thank you. Can I just leave my number in case someone heard this?
Please,
and reach out
go
to
right
me?
Ahead.
All right. Thank
go
you
right
so
ahead.
Very much. For those of you, what we need some sponsors out there. We are appealing for sponsors because we have folks coming in from the homes. We want to be able to give them a nice meal. So please, if you're interested in partnering with us, my number is 357-8383. That's 357-8383. We can use any kind of sponsorship, water, breakfast items, persons who want to come on the ground and just partner in terms of keeping our kids, our darlings. Please, please reach out. There is something that you can do. And this is not only for women. This is for the Bahamas. It's a woman experience. It's a man experience. It's a boy experience. This is a girl experience. It's everyone experience. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. That's Jackie Gardner, folks, on Pink Rain. So make yourself available and get your prayer in and get your healing in. And that's October 28th at Legacy Church Global. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you so very much.
Ladies, You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some stuff. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Babe, you mash the car?
I ain't mash the car. The lady run into me, mash the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with a RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Being an investor has its benefits. Like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, when I do the show, I scan the environment, the news environment, the happenings in the country to see if there are relevant topical things out there that you may want to talk about or to hear. But I also look to discuss them from a perspective of providing guidance, information, knowledge, etc., not for the sensation of it only. Of course, you want it to be interesting. You want it to be relevant. So, you know, you're not going to just pick a topic and decide to talk about it and maybe nobody cares. But I don't believe that sensationalizing is the and should be the central theme of the show, right? So I will sometimes go past any number of things as I determine, look for what to talk about. I do believe that the upcoming by-election in Weston and Bimini is topical, relevant, and important. I do believe that, and I believe that there are many issues arising in that we should talk about. What I also believe and will firmly adhere to is that, you know, there's a time and place for everything. Now, let me say up front that I am under no delusion, no delusion, that the fact that Minister Obi Vilchkum the late is not yet buried, that there is not now active politics going on to replace him. There are some folks who have no regard for the fact that a funeral for him has not yet been held, and they are actively campaigning for that seat. I am not criticizing them, and I am not condemning them. That's a judgment and a choice they have to make. And I don't think that there's anything morally wrong about it. I could question whether the timing is right. I mean, you ought to bury, pay regard to an individual such as that before their passing gets overwhelmed by their replacement. I mean, that's just me. Get vexed at me. Get vexed at me. I'm just saying, right? So I am not taking that issue up at all this week, okay? But I'm taking up something in relation to governance that I find interesting. I find it interesting because I think it speaks to the aspiration of where we may wish to go in the country. So let me ask you all a question. What do you understand public business to be? When you hear public business, what do you understand that to be? When we say, well, they are conducting public business, what does that mean? Versus private business. What is the difference between public business and private business? And in the context of government, why do we even ever talk about it? Well, this is public business. What does that mean? Why is that important? Public business. If you want to call me and give venture a thought about it, call me 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So, Michael Pintard, who is the leader of the opposition and the member of parliament for Marco City, has said two things. He said that the government should publish the procurement report that is required to be published by law. That's the first thing he said, that the government should publish the procurement report. This report, of course, will provide information about contractual obligations into which the government has entered, and so that you can see or know who the government has procured things from, and in certain details, right? Detail. The government has said that in due course it will do so. The government has also indicated that some of this, the demands of the law requiring this disclosure have, especially when it comes to time constraints, may have been too rigorous, too demanding. So they may be adjusting the law to reflect the burden that some of those provisions put on the government, et cetera. So that's the first thing he's asked for. He's asked for the procurement report from the government. The second thing he did was to take note of the fact that the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism and Aviation was the Member of Parliament for Exuma, announced a loan having been secured from the Saudi Fund for Development. And he essentially was asking what authority did the Deputy Prime Minister have to sign such a loan? And then the minister responsible for economic development, Mr. Senator Michael Arquitas, in responding said that that the Deputy Prime Minister was acting Minister of Finance when he did so. But Mr. Arquitas didn't want to speak specifically to it. He said, Minister Arquitas, he didn't want to speak specifically to it because he wasn't there, but pointed to the fact that he was acting minister. He says, and this is a quote from Mr. Arquitas, I don't want to comment on that directly because I wasn't there. From time to time, Deputy Prime Minister acts as Minister of Finance. When the agreement was concluded, they will be executed properly. Mr. Pintad said that's all nonsense. Those are his words, nonsense. That's his word, nonsense. And, you know, there's so much here for rich conversation. Right? So much here. So somebody answering the question as to what you understand to be financial and social and private businesses, public and private businesses. Great show as usual. Government, financial, and social affairs is public business. Private business is things pertaining to their personal life, but people mix people, public business with private business by giving their spouse contracts under dummy company names or limited companies that were things. That's where things get murky. Now, that's just my opinion. Okay. All right. Okay. What is public business? What does it mean to be conducting public business? That's the question. What does it mean to be conducting public business? How is that distinct from private business? So when the government travels on your behalf, it is conducting public business. Why is that public business? When the government executes a contract, that's conducting public business. Why is that public business? When the government engages somebody or hires somebody, either as an employee or a consultant or a contractor, it is conducting public business. Why is it public? What does that mean? Public business. And how is that distinct from private business? All right, I'm going to take a break, and then when we come back, give you some time, if you have a answer, then let me know. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever way.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So I was asking what public business means. Either nobody's listening or nobody's answering. But somebody did. One person did. This is really important. We talk a lot about government and government stuff and politics, and sometimes when we say some things, it seems like it's not so clear what we are referring to. So Any time the prime minister, the cabinet ministers, members of parliament, even the people who work for the civil service, who work in public sector, other than those elected or appointed people, anytime they act in their official capacities. So when the prime minister acts as prime minister, when the deputy prime minister acts as deputy prime minister, when the cabinet minister acts as cabinet minister, when the senator acts as senator, when the member of parliament acts as member of parliament, when the permanent secretary acts as permanent secretary, whenever they act in their official capacities, they act on behalf of the people of the Bahamas as a whole. Understand that. They never act on behalf of a single individual, including themselves. They never act on their own behalf when they are acting in their capacity. So Prime Minister Davis, as long as he is acting as Prime Minister, he is never acting on his own personal behalf. So sometimes, even if he sends condolences, you will hear him say, I bring condolences on behalf of the people of the Bahamas and on my own behalf. Because he understands that there is a distinction between him acting as prime minister, who can only act on behalf of the people, as opposed to him acting as Philip Davis, who can only act on Philip Davis's behalf. So public means that you are acting and it is in the interest of the people as a whole, not the PLPs, not the FNMs, not the constituencies, a constituency alone, not a single family member or a group of family members, the people as a whole. Even if you grant something to some individual, if you do that grant in your official capacity, you are doing it on behalf of the people as a whole. Now, it doesn't matter that everybody who is in the people as a whole does not agree. The fact is, you have the authority and delegated power to act on behalf of the people as a whole. That's why when you act, you should hope that even the people who disagree with you can understand your justification for acting on their behalf in the way you did, even if they disagree. Okay? When you act privately, you and I, anybody, when we do something, when we are not in an official capacity, we do it on our own behalf. So I go, if you're prime minister, you go home and you go cook a meal for yourself. You're not acting on behalf of the people of the Bahamas. You're cooking for yourself. So if you just decide to cook any meal on planet Earth, nobody can say anything about it. That's you acting on your own behalf. If you go and buy a personal car and you're a minister, personal car, and you buy whatever car, you can buy a Rolls Royce, or you can buy a Lamborghini, or you could buy a Paso. It's up to you. That's your private business, and you're acting on your own behalf. When you go and buy a vehicle for the government of the Bahamas, for a cabinet minister, you are acting on behalf of the people as a whole. And so what you're essentially saying is, the people as a whole bought this car for this minister's office to use. Therefore, they can have a say in that. They can comment on that. They might even vehemently disagree. They may, in the end, fire you for that. Why? Because you did what you did, acting on their behalf. They can't fire you for acting in your private capacity in your own interest. But if you can't separate the two interests, and you can't separate the two, public and private affairs, then you run into difficulty. Okay, so when we act in our public capacities, we act on behalf of all the people as a whole. If you therefore, think about this, if you therefore act on behalf of all the people as a whole, think about this for a minute. What could there be private about what you have done? If you've acted for all the people, then what is the privacy attached to your acting, saving and except, where you have information that could, if disclosed, interfere with, make more difficult, or endanger the same people you serve? You might keep information from them in that regard because you're saying, well, you know, this same information could endanger them, might hinder the work from being done or something of that nature. And that's rare. That's in rare circumstances. But in every other circumstances, if you act on their behalf, then who is there to keep the information from? If you're acting on everybody's behalf, well, what good is it for me to keep any information from you? Because if I tell you, I'm only telling you your business. And if I tell somebody else and they tell you, well, they're only telling them their business that you shared with them. So there's no real justification for closeness, intense closeness when it comes to public business. It defies logic, rationale, that there is a closeness when it comes to public business. And this is the reason why one of the underlying tenets of public procurement is the willingness to disclose what business has been done on the public's behalf. That's why reporting on public contracts is something that is and has been required by the public procurement laws in the Bahamas. Now, here is where both the Davis administration and the Minnis administration run into some difficulty. Because you will recall that under the same disclosure provisions in the past, the Minnis administration was accused of not disclosing multiple millions of dollars in contracts that had been issued during the pandemic. And at the time, the Attorney General indicated that the same was not done because they had to find out whether they were going to be in violation of certain things by disclosing the private information of some of these contractors and so forth and so forth. And up to the time of the election when the Minnis administration lost, that information was not disclosed. Well, now you are in the Davis administration, about two years in, and no such disclosure also. But you have now the leader of the opposition who's asking for such. So you have two administrations that have had failures in this level of disclosure of public information. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, brother. Like, how are you, sir?
Hey, man. I'm good. And how are you?
I'm fine, Frank. I think everybody behaving should be calling into your show to debate on what you're saying. I think it's very powerful. So based on what you're saying, if the Bahamian people find out that any government officials are not acting in the capacity that they should, what can we as the Bahamian people do? That's my first question. And my second question is, should we have some kind of board or institution that we can recall persons when we find them not in compliance with what they're supposed to do on behalf of the Bahamian people? Because you and I know a lot of stuff is going on where persons are appear to be doing things in the interest of the country, but we know there is some other hidden agenda behind that. And I think at this point in our country, we see a lot of things going on that are just not in the best interest of the country. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. Appreciate your calling. Well, first of all, let me say, what can you do? See, this is one of the dilemmas with some of the legislation that binds the crown, that binds the government, right? Is the breach of it doesn't really come with anything other than awareness that a fundamental principle or a principle has been breached. It doesn't call for jail time. It doesn't call for prosecution. So you can't prosecute the government. You can't, you know, even if you took the government to court to demand the information, and you can do that under the law, so you can ask for judicial review, you can do that. You could sue the government. At the end of the day, you might only get, at the end of the day, the information. There's no prosecution. There's no anything like that. But it does serve this purpose. Laws let us know where the line is. See, because if there was no law, you wouldn't even know that there was some principle to be breached. So the law at least says to you, the citizen, yeah, they have gone too far. They have not done the right thing. And now you can make judgments when you are called upon for your support as to what to do with them. There may be no prosecution. There may be no sentencing or any of that thing. But you can cast judgment when it is time for you to determine who should next hold that office. So that's one of the dilemmas. Is what can you do? You could only observe, take note, and then make a decision when you can do something. You could protest. You can criticize. You can write letters and that kind of stuff. But beyond that, or as I said, you can sue to get the information. Is there a body that could be set up? Yes, you could set up a body to do just about anything. But just remember, who's going to set up the body? Other than if you elect a body, if you directly elect a body, the government will set up the body. Even a body that is done in conjunction between the government and the opposition, it's still generally going to be a body set up by the government. This text says, "Hi, Mr. Lang, the traveling man. Public business is not secret. Everybody knows, and private is business. It's just between the chosen few only and no one else to know." Now, that's my take. Yeah, that about sums it out, except that, again, it's a public business. The linchpin is it's done on behalf of the people as a whole. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We were talking about the fact that Mr. Pintard had indicated that the government should and has no excuse for not releasing a procurement report, that procurement report was required by law, and that the government has failed to do so. I was making the point that the Minnis administration was accused similarly of not disclosing the multiple millions of dollars in contract that they have issued during the pandemic. Now, Mr. Pintard could rightly say, listen, well, I wasn't prime minister nor minister of finance, and therefore, I can't take responsibility for that. But on the other hand, yes, you have to take responsibility for it, because when under the collective responsibility provision of our system of government, those of us who participate in a government have to take responsibility for all the things done by that government, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just as Shivago Sean Lang, notwithstanding he has not been in government for years now, anything the Ingram administration did, I have to own good, bad, and ugly, and I fully accept that, right? So you have this dilemma where two administrations under the law has demonstrated a failure to comply with the law. And what is to be done? Complain, talk, shout, maybe one day vote, but nothing else beyond that. And this is a challenge for us as a country, because people wean in their confidence in institutions when they see those institutions failing to abide by their own regulations. So if the Davis administration believed that the public procurement legislation was not reasonable in terms of timing and the timing of reports and that kind of stuff, the sensible thing would have been to come and repeal it, right? Or to amend it. Especially in respect of something as sensitive as procurement, you probably want to get to that sooner rather than later. And so therefore, as the opposition leader is alleging, they are in breach. Well, the same thing of the Minnis administration when they were in office, they should have, if they were constrained by factors they thought did not permit them to disclose, as the Attorney General said he was going to do. They should have amended the law and allowed them to do what was required under the law, but that wasn't done again. And so what you have is this sense on the part of people, well, and nobody really cared. It don't make no difference. And, you know, carry on. Carry on. That's, and all of this is eroding confidence in our institutions. It does literally cause people to question whether we are serious about our laws. Or we are serious about some laws. Like we're serious about murder, but we're not serious about other laws. We just, you know, so it becomes a challenge. Anyway, in the same vein, again, this is all public business. So let's say, so first of all, right, if you sign a contract, if you're the government, you sign the contract. It's public business. You spend public funds. You've done it in the interest of the public. You ain't signed no contract that somebody can just collect $100,000, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million, and the government don't get something for it. I mean, the country does not get something for it. You're signing it for something. You're signing it for products. You're signing it for services. So something. So you sign a contract. It's worth a certain amount of money. You signed it with these people. What's the problem? That's the question you might rightly ask as citizens of the Bahamas. What then is the problem? What's the problem with disclosing? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Knight.
Hi, how you doing?
I have a question. Now, I know, ma'am. You're saying that the Menace administration was also in breach of this and they did not disclose for whatever their reasons were. And like you say, the public is getting very wary with the back and forth and so on and so forth and the lockup, right? So where does it stop? Where my question is, where does it stop? Yes, I know Mr. Pintar said he was not a minister of finance and all these other stuff, so he tried to make it look like it was not on him to do. However, I don't feel like it should stop him from asking the question or for it to be done, because at some point it must stop. It must start from somewhere. Yes, he was there. Yes, he thought he could have done more. However, just because it wasn't done then doesn't mean it. And then on top of that, didn't the PLP campaign on the fact that it was going to be open?
But first of all, you're absolutely right. He still has to do his job. There's no question about that. He has to do his job. So we're not suggesting he shouldn't do his job. I've made the same point to people that just because you may not have done something when you were in office, because you hold an office, you have to do the job that office calls for. But you cannot be foolish either to believe that it doesn't diminish your argument and the force of your argument when people say, well, you did the same thing. That mightn't be fair, that mightn't be right, but that's what happens. And what you want is you want to be able to have the most forceful argument possible, because people will throw in your face these things. And what that does is, in their own minds, it diminishes the worth of what you say. And the public, their mind is what matters. Okay?
But the way I see it, I feel like for me, if he can get it done, if he can get them to do this, it will speak volume of his leadership abilities.
Of course, that's why he should do it. That's why he should keep pressing for it and do his job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But see, what I want you to be clear on is this. For me, this is not a matter of F&M versus PLP. I'm not in that business at all. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I'm not trying to strike a hit for the man or strike one against the man. I'm trying to help bring a matter to the public for. Right? That's what I'm doing. And I'm saying that there is a law and the law has been breached by both groups. And what that has done and what that does is it diminishes the confidence people have in institutions. You say, where does it end? Well, it ain't going to end by Mr. Pintard calling on them to disclose it, because the PLP asked the minister administration to disclose it. That's not how it ends. You know how it ends? It ends when there are people who are committed to complying with the law, no matter what.
Thank you.
That's how it ends. Okay? All right? That, I mean, there's no getting around that. It ends when there are people who decide, you know what, this is the law. And if they miss the deadline, we'll come back to the public, apologize, not make excuses, apologize and say, we are going to correct this, and henceforth, going forward, we will not be in breach.
Wasn't this one of their campaign promises?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this was a specific campaign promises. Yes, they I think they promised to, even in the speech from the throne, to amend the procurement law. But the fact of the matter is, when you say that you have a new day, if you have a new day, you should do things differently if you were criticizing things before.
That's my point. That's the point I wanted to get at. Because you're
the only difference between my point and your point is you want a point from an angle, though. And I'm not criticizing you for that.
No, but I want the point
to be on both sides.
I'm not trying to do one or the other. You know, I'm just saying, just because the next man didn't do it, and you criticize them so badly for it, now that you're there, you should stand up and say, listen, be different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you have a greater obligation to do it because you were critical when you were out of office.
Thank you. That's my point. Thank you.
No question about that. No question about that. Absolutely correct. All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Okay. What we have to do is we have to save the country. Mind you, I know that if you are FNM or PLP or COI, you want to save your party too. And that's fine. But what we have to do is save the country. And we have to be able to say to the country and to all the political sides that compliance with the law is required. Now, again, nobody's going to get me to try and knock on Mr. Pintard's head, or you didn't do it. You didn't do it when you was in office. Because in as much as Mr. Pintard says, well, I was in the Minister of Finance and I was in the Prime Minister, he's right. That's true. It is and would have been their particular responsibility. But once you were in that administration, you own that result. Just like when you say, like if Mr. Pintard says, well, when we were in office, we did this good thing, we did that good thing, even though it wasn't his particular something that was done, you get to claim that because it was what y'all did. Well, it's the same thing when something was done that wasn't right or something was done wasn't, you have to own that too. The same thing with Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis used to claim where he wasn't prime minister when certain things happened too. But he was the deputy prime minister and he was in that administration. So therefore, you in our system, you own the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you have to pay the price or you have to bear the consequences of that ownership when it comes to your public arguments, debates, and discourse. And trying to dismiss that anger help nobody. But again, you do your job. It's like Mr. Davis has to do his job too. Notwithstanding any criticism somebody makes of him, he still has to do his job. He's prime minister. And until he's no longer prime minister, he has to do his job. And he has to do it fervently. Okay, he can hear, listen to any piece of criticism there is, but he has to do his job because it is his job. Mr. Pintard has to do his job because it is his job. And we know how this business goes by. You know, you like a person, you support them. You don't like a person, you don't support them. That's how most people will do it. And then there are people who somewhere would say, you know what, I don't like them, but they are doing a good job. And so forth, right? So it is what it is. It is what it is. The other thing that Mr. Pintard pointed out, well, first of all, let me go back and say. So these contracts are public business. You sign a contract. It's for $1 million. You decided you're going to spend $1 million to get this service from this person. It's public money. It's taxpayer money. You knew you signed it. So let me ask you a question. What could keep you from saying, yeah, I signed $1 million contract with so-and-so? What could keep you from doing that? Like, you don't have enough information? Of course you have enough information. You signed a contract. You signed it. You approved the contract. You know who, how much, you know what it was for, and you know who it was. What's the problem with telling the public? For this school, we signed a contract with this company for X amount of money. For this clinic, we signed a contract with this contractor for X amount of money. We believe that this is good for the country. What's the problem? And trust me, that information is readily available. Readily available. Readily. The Treasury of the Bahamas could tell you every single such, because they got to make the payments. So can I say to you, if there is a reluctance to disclose information about contractors, let me tell you what that reluctance would be on the part of the political machinery, the political directorate. Can I tell you all that? You don't really want to hear that. I shouldn't tell you that, why there would be a reluctance to disclose this information. No? Okay, well, let me move on then. This text says, Mr. Lang, sir, thanks for the light you continue to bring to these matters. Can Mr. Pintard get copies of the contract that was issued under the previous administration? He should be able to. I mean, but he would have to go to the government, because he wouldn't have had all of those contracts in his possession. So if the government operates the way it should operate, a leader of the opposition or a member of parliament should be able to write the government of the Bahamas and say, can I get a copy or can I get a summary of all the contracts issued between 2017 and 2021? And by the way, could I have the same for all issued since 2021, he should be able to do that. Any member of parliament, PLP, FNM, should be able to do so. It's public business, right? Say, boy, shut up. I mean, speak up. Say, he should be able to get that information. It's available. It's fully available. What's the problem? So let me explain to y'all what the reluctance is. It isn't because now anybody thief your money. No, that's not what the reason is. It's not because nobody thief your money. That has nothing to do with it. Because if you can thief people's money, you're thiefing it in the light of the whole treasury and all them people. So that's nonsense. It's not about thiefing nobody money. And the fact that, you know, all these contracts that are signed by the permanent secretary, you know. A minister doesn't really sign any contracts. So we'll get to Mr. Cooper in a bit and his thing in Exuma. But ministers cannot bind the government signing a contract. Only the permanent secretary can do that. Okay, so there's no, when you see those contracts formally signed, no minister is signed. Now, even when ministers do that at ceremony, that's only ceremony. But it's that signature of the permanent secretary that matters, who's the chief financial officer according to the Financial Administration and Audit Act of the Bahamas, right? So it ain't no thief in the money. Yeah, here's the problem. Here's what's going to happen. Here's generally what is the concern. Well, some contracts that got signed didn't go to open bid. They selected some people to do the contract. Okay? So you might have to disclose that. Some contracts, when you look at all the contracts and you look at and you are able to, you may not be able to do this, but if you are able to, you'll see, wow, 70% of those contracts went to PLP supporters. And the government go like, what? And people might go like, what? 70% went to FNM supporters. What? Oh, that's how they play. Then they might look at the, you might see it on the contract when you do an analysis, you might say, well, you know, this seems inflated. Like, why is that so expensive? Maybe that wasn't the most the least expensive one. And it isn't true that every contract should be the least expensive, because somebody could give you a low contract, but they're not the best capable of doing the job. And maybe they gave the low contract because they weren't best at valuing the job. So that's why you match those job costs against some internal estimation from the Ministry of Public Works. So that might be another reason that, or you might discover when you see the contracts and who they were paid to, you might discover that there's a relationship between this politician and these people that you say, oh, you think that's why? Mind you, that might be the reason why they got it on only, you know, they may have been the best person, but the relationship exists. So when you see governments, when you see politicians are reluctant to do things, it's because they don't believe they can get no political points for doing so. Think about that. Let's suppose the government thought, boy, I would win the next election if I disclosed this information. What do you think would happen? If they saw it, they can get plenty, plenty votes to do that. I'm talking about FNM, PLP, any administration. What do you think would happen? Boy, they'd get our information in a hurry. So when you see politicians reluctant to do something, it's because they don't know, or they believe that something will be politically harmful. That's the reason. Why is there not more movement on the Freedom of Information Act? Because there is not a view that doing so will provide positive consequences politically. That's the view. Huh? When how quick do we run to announce, oh, we got this big project for Exuma. We got this big project for Long Island. We got this big project for Grand Bahama. We got this big project for New Providence. We ain't hiding that from you. We're not keeping that information from you. But boy, when it comes to some other stuff, if you see politicians are not eager to give that information out, it is not because they're necessarily doing something wrong. It's because they don't feel that there is going to be political advantage to doing so. It don't have that kind of priority, or it don't have that kind of political advantage. That's generally the case. And disclosure stuff is generally like that. So look at the things that there's reluctance and slowness on. Disclosure of reports of ministries, disclosure of finances of politicians, disclosure of freedom of information of staff, disclosure of government contract procurement contracts. Look at that. See the trend? What if all of those things, what if a member of parliament knew he would get 30% more votes than he got before if he disclosed his details in respect of his finances? What do you think would happen? Boy, that disclosure would be in 3 months early as opposed to 3 months late. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago, like your host. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including that, this Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. at a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF Margin Loan at rfgroup.com.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this interesting Wednesday afternoon. The other thing that Mr. Pintad was alluding to was the signing, what he said was the signing of a loan agreement between the government and the Saudi sovereign fund to build an airport in Exum. Now, this was signed by member of parliament for Exum and the minister responsible for tourism. And the reality is that I don't know what document that the minister signed, but loans have to be approved by the Parliament of the Bahamas by way of resolution. So there's no borrowing that can be done by the government of the Bahamas without the approval of the Parliament of the Bahamas. So whether in at some point a resolution comes to Parliament for bait and passage, that is going to have to happen. I don't know why. I don't know why a signing of this nature would be handled in such an informal manner, if in fact it was signed, because it's a government thing. And ordinarily, under those circumstances, the substantive minister responsible would determine that, which is the Minister of Finance and Prime Minister, determine how to announce these things and so forth and so forth. And then, of course, you know, the member of parliament, being a member of parliament for Exuma, you get caught up in, you know, why Exuma for $70 million under these circumstances, etc. Weren't all of the airports a part of a collective bid process for funding? I that's what I recall. How come the Exuma airport gets singled out? What about the others? Is what questions people might raise about the matter. But insofar as a signing is concerned, I mean, I don't know what signing that was. It couldn't have been a signing to, in fact, execute the thing, because that's not how we are able to execute loans in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, right? You don't execute loans like that. And I think that certainly an acting Minister of Finance, unless there's some extraordinary circumstance and directive from the prime minister himself, who's Minister for Finance, gives instructions for something to be done, then it isn't usual or ordinary for an acting minister to act substantially in their post. They typically don't do so. When you are acting, so let me step back. Even the prime minister, when the prime minister leaves and leaves somebody to act, he leaves them to act, but not to act with all of his powers. So an acting person, for instance, cannot call an election, cannot prorogue the House, cannot dissolve the House. Not an acting person. A person acting as prime minister cannot do so. Right? I mean, so when you're Minister of Finance, so when you leave with certain powers to be things that can be carried out. And generally speaking, a minister who is acting understands that I'm acting and I'm not going to do anything substantial in this ministry because that would not be my place unless I have directions from the minister substantive. Right? So you never see major things done by an acting minister. Right? Now, might I say this too? I hear people say that prime minister will act as minister responsible for social services until he appoints someone to that post to replace Mr. Welchcombe. First of all, any area of the government that doesn't have a named minister falls under the portfolio of the prime minister. False. So the prime minister doesn't have to designate, some areas of government he has to designate to someone else. The attorney general, he has to designate someone else, right? But he don't have to have all the ministers he wants. He don't have to. He can keep all that stuff to himself. So the prime minister isn't acting as minister of social services. Social services falls within his portfolio. And so he can act substantively anytime on anything that he hasn't given or assigned to someone else. Okay? So what in fact this signing was by the minister, I don't really know. I can only imagine it's ceremonial. Some probably, some understanding of agreement or something like that. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, in my opinion, sir. I see this as a game being played on us, the Bayman people. If Mr. Pintard is serious and have good intent about providing us with information, he would start with the things he has control over. And in this case, he could start by showing us the contract that was issued under his government. Sir, again, in my opinion, both the PLP and the FNM are playing games. And at the end, we are the ones who have to bear the burden of the heavy taxes. One more thing. I heard Mr. Pintard all over the airwaves giving the government advice, but have never heard him encourage persons who was in charge of the food program to cooperate with the government and present to them the document they are asking for. But again, we are hearing nothing from the government, and it seems to the people this matter just could be whatever they want to do. So both of these parties playing us. Okie dokie. Okie dokie. So we'll see. The airport and Exuma loan signing, I have no doubt, will come to formal light in terms of what needs to be done to properly secure a loan in that way. So we'll have to see. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this final break.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been can't down the same road.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
God, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
It's the Battle of the Bra, sponsored by Canoe, and you decide who wins. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so strap on your gloves and join the fight. It's easy. Just download the Canoe app, vote for Mammogram Access Program, the Grand Bahama Cancer Society, or Sister Sister, or go to the Battle of the Bra event page on Facebook and vote. Each vote is just $5. Polls open on October 2nd and close on October 26th. Vote as many times as you want. You can even vote for all three. It's the Battle of the Bra. The winner will be announced on Friday, October 27th at the Pink Lotus Affair at Blair House.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Gentlemen, welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, interesting Wednesday afternoon. So before I mention something very personal, I just want this person says it will never happen, meaning that if Mr. Pintard asks for the government to disclose some information, it will never happen. Right? Yeah, it may not. It may not. Anyways, we'll see. We'll see. As I indicated, I think the loan for the airport will have to come to the parliament, and when that debate ensues, then we'll get some details. Maybe we'll not. I'm still baffled sometimes how flippantly announcements are made about relatively significant matters of the government. And I remember I used to say that the Minnis administration, those would sometimes do that. But it seems like the Davis administration too carries that same tradition on, where things happen and some minister just gets up in a mic and just mentions it. Not a full disclosure with details, et cetera. Just maybe somebody in the press asked them a question, they just announce it. I don't think that's the best way, but hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. So my mother my mother is one of nine children. And my mother's siblings, I was just telling somebody the other day, were fortunate enough to all still be alive and at a relatively mature age, and that their mother, Rosalind Storr, had the privilege of seeing all of them come to full adulthood and staying connected and being connected. And I thought that that was really a rare thing. My grandmother, Rosalind Storr, she passed away, and all of her children were alive. All nine children were alive. And that is something. Parents do not want their children, any of them, to predecease them. Parents do not. Parents believe that it is the natural order of things for them to predecease their children. And that's the way I would want it. That's the reality. You don't get to determine it all, but that's the natural order of things. In nature, that is the way it typically tends to be, saving and except when the predator gets the prey, and the prey is one of the young, right? My mother has had two of her children predecease her. Her eldest child, Stephen Seymour, and her second eldest, Fernie Stubbs, predeceased her. And that was hard on my mother. That was difficult. And so I was saying to someone the other day how remarkable I found it that my mother's siblings were all alive and all connected. If they got together, they were all connected. They weren't nine people somewhere talking to each other and all that kind of stuff. They could row when they're ready, but they were all connected. But 2 days ago, now, one of my mother's brothers, Jerome Francis, passed away in now defiance of that thing I thought was so grand, in that all of them were alive. And he was always to me such a soft spoken, even if he was rowing, a gentle, friendly soul. I remember when he got married, and I think I served as the master of ceremonies for his wedding, even. Just a beautiful man in spirit. And he passed away. He was one of a twin set of boys. Worked for a very long time at the Ministry of Public Works and plumbing skills, and did his work diligently and quietly for the most part, except when, you know, like all us, we row with sports or this kind of stuff. And so I have no doubt that has been a significant blow to our family, to his friends. But this is the way of our world. And so I just wanted to mention that. Because life is so uncertain. It's so fragile, so unpredictable sometimes. Probably one of the reasons why we shouldn't take it entirely too seriously to believe that everything in this world revolves around us. Because we are here for a brief while. And while we're here, we can make the difference we make. We may not change the world. We may not make some grand gesture in the world. We may not leave some globally recognizable, maybe even regionally recognizable or nationally recognizable footprint. But in the lives of our families, we can leave impressions that are positive. And when I think about my uncle, I have only positive impressions that I, in all my encounters, in all my interactions, pleasant man, sweet man, gentle man. And his daughter, Raquel, same spirit. And to my family, I express condolences and share the pride in person that he was displayed around all of us. You know, more and more, as I journey in this world, I start to assess the kinds of things we allow to yank up our vexation. We allow to cause us discord, that we permit to bring us into behavior that destroy relationships and communities. And I think how foolish we are. Because this life is fleeting. And the best you could do, the best I could do, is to try to do the kinds of things that really, really blesses people. Yeah. Bless our families, bless our friends, our neighbors. Not by doing what they think you should do to make sure they happy, you know. No. But doing things that the good Lord was saying, you have done that to somebody. He would say, that's a good thing you did to that somebody. Sometimes they are very small things. Or you think they are very small things. The other day, I was driving along the road. And this lady was walking and she had a stick. She seems to have had maybe a stroke because she seemed to have been a little lame on one side and she was walking. And, you know, at first I thought maybe she was just strolling. But then as I drove past her, she seemed to be struggling a little bit, right? So I got down a bit ways and I said, you know what? No. Let me turn around and offer her a ride. And I did. And when she got in the car, from the time I picked her up to the time I dropped her off, she kept saying to me, oh, God can bless you for this. Oh, God can bless you, sir. Everybody right past me, oh, but God can bless you for this. Small thing for me, big thing for her. That's how I count my treasures now. I'm counting my treasures now. A Buddhist was talking about getting good rest. And he was saying that when they lie down, they were taught, this was a Western man, an American, who was very successful in terms of what we count success as in his life. But he found himself just totally frustrated and stressed out by all of the executive responsibilities he had, etc. And eventually he decided to abandon all that. He went to live in a monastery somewhere in, I think it was in Tibet. And he said in the monastery, they taught them a number of things. And one of the things they taught them about was how to, you know, get a good night's sleep. And one of the things they said was, he said they have a simple mat and a simple little something that they put under their head, and they slept on that on the floor. He said, and they learned that when you are going to sleep, you don't think about all the things that happened in your day and they recap the things that happened in your day. You think about any good deed you did that day. That's what you think about before you go to sleep. Did I help somebody? You know, did I do some good meditation or something of that nature? He said, and if you couldn't find a thing in that day, you look to the thing that may have been done the day before. And if you couldn't, in the week, he said, but you go to sleep with thoughts of the good deeds that you have done for other people on that day. And I practiced that. He also said that, you know, we are in these modern worlds of modern world homes of ours. We got all kinds of things in our bedrooms. We got television, we got radio, we got all kinds of things going on. He says, and that's one of the reasons why maybe we don't get as good sleep as we get, because we associate our bedrooms with many more things other than sleep and maybe being intimate with your partner, if that's what it is. But sleep, bedrooms are for sleep, for relaxation, for rest. But we have made them workspaces, workstations. Some people got offices set up in there. And I learned that about 7 months ago, maybe a year now, actually. And I went inside my bedroom and I took all the TV out. I took anything for my entertainment out. And now my bedroom, the only thing you could do inside there is go sleep. So I have a man cave and I go down to my man cave. I do my work. I do whatever I have to do. But when I go to my bedroom, I go only to sleep. That's what I go to do, to sleep. Good deeds. Good deeds. What is the will of God concerning you? That you do good. Do good. That's the good deeds. That's what we got to do. And the hope in the end, not that the good deeds will be our salvation, but that we make a difference in our world by doing that. We can make some mistakes. We can do some stupidness. Right? That'll happen. But we can also do some good deeds. I think in terms of the person my uncle was, I think he did some good deeds. Certainly, some good deeds for me. So Jerome Francis, God bless him and our family. You've been listening to See Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us today. I trust and hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful evening and God spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
C See Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Light.